You're listening to the Vegans Explore Network, found at vegansexplore.com.
There's a lot of things that I've had the ability to witness in the community over time that gets lost with time, unfortunately. And I like to think there are a few vegan businesses right now that are like the OGs in the community.
Yeah.
And you're one of those in Miami for sure. Like I remember when you had the yoga studio over there and you moved to here, then there. So right now I'm here with Veronica Menon from Love Life Cafe, a staple in the community. I always recommend you guys if people are like, I'm coming into Miami, where to go? Because the reason I recommend you is because it's the experience. It's not just the food. It's you want people to walk away feeling like, wow, that was an experience that I had. And you guys have the food, you have the experience, and you're in a thriving location here in Wynwood. So first time I was introduced to you, it was an influencer event. I think Tori was there. Johnny Juicer, all the people were there.
Yeah.
And it was at the yoga studio location.
Yeah, I remember that.
So how did you get started? Because you just didn't pop up. Like, what was the genesis of you launching Love Life Cafe?
So my husband and I, we always had a commonality between us, which was we realized how much, you know, the lifestyle, because, you know, in the end of the day, being vegan or plant-based is a whole lifestyle. It's not just the food, right? It's so many things change when we change what we put in our bodies. So when we met, I was just kind of diving into this wellness center, and Diego is an amazing cook. Like, he cooks so good. And I'm like, hey, you know, we should have a cafe in the yoga studio, and can you help me make the menu? So we really started as a wellness center with a vision of creating community and bringing awareness to, you know, what you eat, how you move, how you relate to each other, you know, spirituality. We had a lot of meditation classes too. How all those things in balance, it really can make a difference in your life, you know, and in your core, and it reflects everything else that you do. And I think we really need more of that in the world, you know, especially when we don't really know. It's hard to find the resources out there for you to live a healthier lifestyle. And wellness has become such a mix, so confusing, right? Like all these supplements, and you should eat
commoditized
things,
and it's like it's become less about the connection to the body and the whole, and more about like commerce.
Exactly. And in the end of the day, I think if you practice certain things, you can really find, like, people ask me all the time, what do you eat for breakfast, what do you eat for lunch, what do you do? And I always advise them, like, find your own flow, you know, spend time with yourself, get to know yourself, eat whole foods always, you know, that's like the key ingredient, eat real whole foods. And to me, foods are not animals, you know, that's not whole food. I'm talking about grains, legumes, you know, proteins that are plant-based and they come from real ingredients. You know, healthy fats, you know, we have such beautiful ingredients in the plant world. So that's how we started, you know, we connected our passion towards health and his talent of cooking, which he designed the whole menu, and it's been very successful. And so today we have some staples that are on for 10 years, basically.
And one of the things in those 10 years that I've noticed about you is that you've always managed to mold and transform and reinvent yourself in sort of ways. How hard was that, given all the things that happened? Because 10 years, a lot of things happened in those 10 years. So how was it, how are you able to kind of adjust and mold in that time frame? Like, what about you made you stick it out and continue it? And shift and grow, like what would you attribute to that?
Well, we grew very organically. So we didn't start with like a huge investor that gave us all this money and we opened a beautiful restaurant. Like, we literally started, it's like kind of a cliche story, but it's real. Like, we started in a little counter that Diego built himself inside of the Wellness Center. And we just really grew from the community coming and supporting us and us getting Square loans. Okay, we need to expand the kitchen. We don't have any money. Let's get a Square loan. And then more people would come, and then we just kept on growing and growing. And so the day that it was too big to be in the Wellness Center, and that was, I think, reinvent ourselves, number one. We moved from there to this place where we are now. And we were lucky enough to have a landlord that supported us, and he built the restaurant for us. And it was very simple. The first, when we were here originally, we didn't have a walk-in cooler, you know, we didn't have gas. It was just very basic. And all of a sudden, like, more people came. It was crazy. I think it was 2018, 2019. You just couldn't keep the line. Like, the line was out the door sometimes. And, you know, we were super excited and happy. And then we opened Timeout Market in South Beach.
Okay.
And then we opened, and then COVID came. And that was kind of reinvent yourself, number two. And we had to go into, like, okay, you know, we need a mini market. We need to start making food for people to take home. A lot of to-go stuff, making our outdoor look beautiful. And it was a rough moment, but the community really supported us. So I have to say, like, without the support that we have gotten and the feedback, you know, that people just love the food, they feel good, they keep coming back, that's what kept us going, you know. And it's hard sometimes because it's not always a smooth road, but you just need to figure out how to adapt to the new situation in the world. But without steering away from your main mission and identity, you know, I think that's very important. Like, why we started, it's still the same reason, you know. We're still so connected to our mission and what makes us do this, you know, to contribute to the world in a positive way, you know, that you can eat healthy and you can be sustainable and not hurt other beings and our planet. I think it's such an important mission, and I love doing it. You know, it makes me happy every day when I come to work. But then there was a time that we actually sold to a bigger group in 2021. We got acquired by the ex-founder of Whole Foods Market, John Mackey. He approached us and wanted to do a wellness center as well with a cafe, and he wanted Love Life to be a part of it. So it was a really hard moment for us because first we said no, and then we were like, it was 2021, you know, it was, and I was pregnant of him, and we loved we loved his mission. You know, we're like, if we're ever going to sell to anybody, because other people have approached us before, many investors or groups, you know, people that want to expand us. But we're like, in the end of the day, they're going to pressure us for money. They're going to want us to change the menu, you know, put meat in it, put dairy, put whatever. Because the vegan business doesn't give you enough margins. It gives us enough, but not to a big investor that wants to see big money. So we're like, if we're ever going to sell to anybody, these are people that I've always admired, John Mackey. I've read all his books. He inspired me to do what I do, conscious business. So we decided to go for it, and we spent 4 years, like, married with them. We continue part of it, and they gave us full control of everything, which that's when we moved to the bigger space.
Okay.
So it wasn't really our investment. It was there, you know, they had the vision to have, we were doing so well, they're like, we need more seats, we need to feed more people. And then the economy just took this weird route, you know, food costs to the roof, labor became insane expensive, because it's expensive to live in Miami, right?
Yeah.
So, like, my team needs to pay rent, so they need more money. So we started having to put more and more and more and more, to the point that they changed their direction. They don't want to have any more the first like vision of the wellness center changed. So our cafe didn't really fit in anymore. So instead of just closing down, we said, can we buy the business back? And they said, sure. You know, it takes back a little back and forth of negotiation, but we were able to buy it back this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So here we are. So we came back to our OG space by coincidence, right? Because I think everything is for a reason.
Lucky that it was still here.
It was, they tried to be two different things, but they never kind of moved forward. And then here it was, and we were like, can we have that place back? And we're here, and now it's back on Dave and myself. So.
So one thing I really want to know from you, because you do have that perspective of being a business owner in these last 10 years, and I know I personally felt shifts from years to years. Like, yeah. From 2019, I felt like things were really picking up. They even called it the year of the vegan in certain magazines.
Yeah.
And then obviously 2020 happened. I feel like all that momentum kind of faded away. So right now, how would you describe it as a business owner, having that perspective, being in the Wynwood area for as long as you have? What is the pulse right now of the vegan community, the way you're experiencing it?
Well, I think there's two different perspectives. Like, one, Wynwood has changed a lot after COVID. And I think that's because, you know, like I said, the economy, rent is insanely crazy. And for small businesses like ourselves and other really, remember when Wynwood was really hip and cool, and like, it just felt mysterious to be here. It was so artsy and so much culture going on.
That is underground vibe to it.
Yeah, and you know, people that have those creative businesses that were thriving at that time, they can't really afford to be here anymore. And like us, like, rent is expensive for us too, you know? Like, we're really barely making it, but we're like, we're gonna hang on until things get better. But the neighborhood has really shifted, and I think that has affected like the amount of foot traffic that we get and how exciting it is to go to Wynwood. You know, it's not as exciting as it was before. And I'm really hoping that people can come together. Like, I've been getting together with Zach the Baker, and we're like, how can we, you know, anything that we can do? Like, he wants to close the block where his bakery is and create like a market. I told him, let's do a farmer's market back here. You know, just to create more of that feel that, you know, more people getting together and just hanging out, you know? It doesn't have to be only like restaurants from out of town. That's like pretty much all you have now. And that's one thing. And then I think that lately the media, or, you know, the agenda has been towards less processed foods and more meats and more, you know, steak and bacon and
beef tallow and the fries.
Beef tallow is such bullshit, you know, and it's really like a sub-product from the dairy industry that they probably didn't know what to do with it. And they're like, let's come up with it being so healthy and we can monetize on it. And, you know, people are putting beef tallow everywhere. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I think a lot of people relate to veganism being an ultra-processed food because of the fake meats and fake cheeses, right? But for example, and that could be just like processed foods are processed foods, even if they're not vegan, like a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
But in our restaurant, for example, we try to stick to whole foods. Like, we make our own cheese. Our cheese is made from cashew and water. Our burger patty is homemade. Even like our picadillo is made from pea protein. Like, we literally buy a bag of pea protein and we make the picadillo with pea protein. So we're not using the Beyonds and the Impossibles, and even though they are right now refining themselves, which I'm so excited about, we do have maybe a handful of dishes that we use. Like, yeah. We have the cheeseburger with the Beyond Meat. I can't even think of it. Like, we have just a few things because you want also to satisfy that cheat day, right? Because everybody has the day that they cheat or they have to eat something indulgent that doesn't necessarily have to be the healthiest. But if you want to eat here every day, I mean, we have rice, beans, you know, we have beautiful salads. We have things that are hearty, nutritious, and they are all whole foods. So maybe that's why, like, we've managed to stay around, because we're not only dealing with, like, imitation everything. Like, we just want to make good food for everybody. You know, you don't have to be vegan necessarily. But if you want to feel good after you eat and not fall asleep, you know, during lunch, and try something new that tastes amazing and it's made with real ingredients. And that's, I think, where right now, how we are adapting to that is the no seed oil fat. Like, that's the trend, right?
Yeah.
But we've never, the funny thing is that since we opened in 2015, we have only used olive oil and coconut oil.
Oh, okay.
Always, forever. Like, we've never used any other oil. So now we're talking about it because everybody's talking about it, but we've been doing that forever. We never use refined sugar. We never fried anything. We don't have a fryer back here.
Interesting.
So a lot of things that I think people care about today, because it's all about a trend, and nobody realizes how social media and everything kind of steers everybody towards the certain trends. But to me, I'm almost 20 years vegan, you know, my son, we feel good, and that's what matters, you know, and whoever wants to eat that way, then we're here making the best food for that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I hear, the consistent messaging I hear from you on social media, is that, you know, the reason you're doing it and your commitment to, you know, being a plant-based restaurant. How important is that to you? Because I know I've had conversations with a lot of vegan business owners. Vegan business owners who, you know, say they're doing it for the animals, doing it for ethics, but also feeling the pressure of, in their words, not feeling the community supporting them back, and them feeling like they're suffering because of that. So, based off your messaging, like, what are your thoughts on that? Because definitely there is that pressure, regardless of your ethics, to make sure you stay open, mm-hmm. to be able to provide for the community. And if you feel like people aren't showing up, there's like that disconnect of getting close to that burnout point of like, why am I doing it?
Yeah, I think the community, the original community, has always been there. But before, it was people outside of the community as well that were coming. I feel like the community is still there. Like, we have people that have been coming for years. Like, we know them by the name, we know what they like, you know, we have each other's phone number. But it's the other kind of crowd that was intrigued by veganism when it was cool and hip, and that's the trend was kind of going that way. And now it's going a different way. But I think as a business owner, again, like, I could never put animals in my menu because that's not, I don't know, I just couldn't go to sleep at night knowing that that's what I do for a living, because it's not my mission. Like, I'm not a restaurant owner. I'm a conscious business owner. I want to make this world better. I don't want to just fit into the trend, right, to survive. Gotcha. And I understand maybe I might have to close one day because we're not making enough money. But I think before that, there are other things that we can try. Like, I really want to get into more catering. You know, I just started a really nice program for kids' birthday parties, school lunches. You know, there's food for people that just came out of the hospital. Like, we have a kitchen, you know. We can produce, we can look into different revenue streams that we can continue paying rent. We're introducing a new granola, we're writing a recipe book. We're working on other things to keep, and marketing, right? Because if you make it cool to eat this way, people will come. People want to be a part of it. So you really have to get creative, I think, to keep that fire lit. You're not going to make it if you keep doing the same thing. But I think there are ways to get creative and change that you don't have to completely change your identity. And I see that happening so much to a lot of restaurants, and it's not from now, it's from years ago already. And every single one of them has failed.
Yeah.
I think the only one that didn't is a place in Brickell called Happy's.
Oh, familiar with them.
But they are in Brickell. I feel like anybody, if you're not doing well in Brickell, you don't know what you're doing, you know, because there's so many people in Brickell. And the owner did a good job transitioning. But Love Life Cafe has a personality. It's its own entity, you know? If all of a sudden I change who it is, it's so confused. It's just completely gonna lose its essence, you know? So I think if we try everything in the book and nothing works, we'll do something else for a living, you know?
And that's what I'm hearing you say. It's like you're not a restaurant owner, you're a conscious business owner. So the mission stays the same, but the mechanics may be different depending on what the situation is.
Yeah. Like, how else can I do good? How else can I create an impact? Because in the end of the day, like, your purpose matters to you, your purpose matters, and everybody has a different purpose, right? Like, everybody has a different journey. But ours in particular has always, like, when I learned about the animal industry and what happens to in slaughterhouses and how we grow, and you know, the dairy industry, and my brain just opened like a parachute. It's impossible for it to come back, you know. How can you unsee it? How can you continue living and accepting? And you know, a lot of things are happening in humans nowadays that are humanitarian things that everybody's exposing and saying. And I think about it all the time. I'm like, nobody cares about the animals, you know? Like, a lot of people do, but most people don't. So if I can contribute however I can, like, that's what makes me happy. That's what makes me wake up in the morning and feel excited. I feel good about my purpose, and we'll adapt, you know. We've been very broke before when we first started, to the point that we couldn't even go to the grocery store. But we've never been in need, you know. Like, things have always kind of gone, and I think when you follow your path, like, things will fall into place. You know, we're not afraid of the business failing and we're gonna be homeless. Like, no, you always figure out a different way to reinvent yourself.
So have you, and we're winding down, have you always been in the South Florida area? Like, what's your background?
I was born in Brazil. My mom is an organic farmer until this day. She still lives there. And when I was 13, my dad got an offer to move to Miami. And I lived in a very small town and a farm. And you know, even being at 13 years old, I said, I'm gonna go to school and study and learn English, and then I'll come back. And then I graduated high school, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go to college and study. And then here I am still today. I'm still here, so I live back in Plantation now.
Okay.
So now I'm in Broward, in the suburbs. Just Miami got a little bit too crazy.
I always say that's the idea. Come to Miami, live on the outskirts, and you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Plantation is very peaceful. You know, very kid friendly, and yeah, less traffic.
So, what's anything coming up? Anything? I know you mentioned a few initiatives. You're working on doing some local community things in Wynwood. Anything that people should be looking out for in the future?
We are partnering with a Montessori school. that we may turn into a school, let's see, but right now we're doing their culinary program.
Okay.
So we have, we teach every Friday, we teach plant-based cooking at the school, and we're gonna launch the school lunch program for them, and I hope that's something that picks up, you know, and other schools wanna join in. And there's gonna be a Love Life recipe book also coming, which we're gonna showcase some of our recipes. What else? I'm always working on so many ideas. Yeah, I think for now that's it. You know, we just reopened in June. So we have live music now on Saturdays, and new dishes. We have some new specials coming.
I saw Thanksgiving menu. And I saw a video of your breakfast burger.
Yeah.
That's probably going to get one of those to go.
Yes, and for Thanksgiving, for the holidays, we're going to have the holiday menu as well. We do it every year. So we have meatloaf, we have a mushroom casserole. We have the pan de jamón, we have tamales, which are called hallacas, and my husband is from Venezuela, so it's going to be good.
And when is that coming out, the menu?
November?
Yeah.
Okay. Usually people order for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I always, like, it's the week of, on Thanksgiving, and I want to do, like, a collection of all the Thanksgiving activities and menus.
Oh, yeah.
But it's too late by then, right? You gotta hit it, like, the beginning of November,
yeah.
All right, so I'll look out for yours and put it in the collection.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
All right, well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with
thank
us.
Thank you.
And we're, you know, big fans, so excited that you're part of your community partner with us. So we'll continue to follow all the great things you're doing and share it to our community. And any closing words for people who may be watching or listening to this?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, you said thanks for joining. When I saw that you're doing that, you know, I was excited because, and I think we've been talking and you always have, you're always brainstorming, how can I help? How can I support? You know, what can we do to bring more awareness, to bring more people? And I think it's amazing to have that support, you know, because a regular restaurant isn't getting people like, how can we support? Because we share the same passion, you know, we want more people to eat this way. We want a better world, a better place for our kids to grow. And thank you. You know, I wanted to say thank you for doing this initiative. I think it's going to be very successful, and I wish you all the best. And however we can support, you know, anything else that you're doing, let us know.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this, and I wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate it.